Yamuna Tiha Vanachari. Yamuna Tiha Vanachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabiari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabiari. Gopidana Balaba Girivanajari. Gopidana Balaba Girivanajari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Dhanaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Dhanaranjana. Yamuna Tiha Vanachari. Yamuna Tiha Vanachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabiari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabiari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahang Saparvidakasharya Asitara Sidushi Sriman. His Divine Grace Shalesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Raj Srila Prabhupada Kijai. Gaur Premanande Hari, all glorious to the sound devotees, all glorious to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhaya Sri Mate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane. Namaste Sarasatundeve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskatya De Satarne. Om Agyana Dhimanandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur Umilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shigaro Shiyuta Padakamalam Shigaram Vaishnavam Cha Shirupam Sagarjatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Prajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakhan Svitam Sha. Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Dugatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Brinda Vaneshwari Prishubhanu Sudadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Trubhyastra Kripa Sinubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shadvaiti Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 71. The Lord travels to Indraprastha, Text 25. Drishva ki vikalina ridaya. Krishnam snehena pandava. Shira drishtam priyatamam. Sash vajeta punak punak. Drishva viklina ridaya. Krishnam snehena pandava. Chira drishtam priyatamam. Shasvajeta punak punak. Shari Klina Ridayan Krishnam Snehena Pandava Drishva Drishtam Priyatamam Shasvajeta Punak Punak Drishva Viklina Ridaya Krishnam snehena pandava. Shira drishtam priyatamam. Ashvadreta punak punak. Vikra drishtina ridaya. Krishnam snehena pandava. Chira drishtam priyatamam. Shasvajeta punak punak. Drishva viklina ridaya. Krishnam snehena pandava. Chira drishtam priyatamam. Shasvajeta punak punak. Ladies. Vishvavi klina ridaya. Krishnam snehena pandava. Krishva drishtam priyatamam. Shasvajeta punak punak. Hitaritena ridaya. Krishnam snehena pandava. Chira drishtam priyatamam. Shasvajeta punak punak. Drishva viklina vridaya. Krishnam snehena pandava. Chira drishtam priyatamam. Shasvajeta punak punak. Drishva sing. Viklina melted. Vridaya his heart. Krishnam, Lord Krishna, snehena, with affection. Pandava, the son of Pandu. Chirat, after a long time. Drishtam, seen. Priyatamam, his dearmost friend. Shasvajay, he embraced him. Ta, thereupon, punak punak, again and again. Translation by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. The heart of King Yudhisthira melted with affection when he saw his dearmost friend, Lord Krishna, after such a long separation, and he embraced the Lord again and again. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamane Namaste Sarasvatundeve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shinivadi Paskyatyade Siddharane. These are pastimes. And as we'll see, as I read a little bit more, there are practically no purports, which means that the acharyas didn't bother making commentaries very much about these particular pastimes or sections. It is not that they had nothing to say, but our commentators, they have said what had to be said in the first 9 cantos. Now in the 10th canto, we're dealing with subject matter which is generally, we can say, inconceivable to those who are not on a certain level of spiritual advancement. Because it's dealing with the stages beyond at least prema and beyond. Because Krishna's pastimes, the minimum level of attainment that one has to have to participate in the pastimes, unless you're a demon, then you... special conception for demons. But at least as devotees, the minimum level is bhava. And one of the symptoms of bhava is mentioned here, viklina, which means the heart melts. Before our heart melts, first of all, we have to gain a certain amount of transcendental intelligence. Just like an example can be used, before you can set on fire paper with a magnifying glass, you have to find the right angle to the sun so you can concentrate the sunlight in such a way that it sets the paper on fire. When I was younger, we used to do that all the time. I'm sure it still works, so I'm sure people still do it. So similarly, before we can actually come into the fire of Krishna consciousness, our first business is to concentrate our mind upon Krishna in a favorable way. What that favorable mood is a combination of two things, but the main thing is feeling dependent upon Krishna. We can't give up the shelter of the material world unless we feel we have another shelter. Just like, as Vasudev said to Kamsa, that when the plant worm, before it picks up, as it moves from one leaf to the next, before it picks up its feet, it first of all makes sure it has some firm planting in some other leaf. It doesn't just pick up its feet and then... It has to have some foundation, some stability, some place to take shelter in before it gives up its other shelter. So our process is to learn how to rely upon Krishna, that Krishna is actually a good shelter. And then when we find Krishna as a shelter, then we can give up other shelters, the temporary shelters. Therefore, the glorification of Krishna starts in the first canto and second canto. And we find Krishna is not only described, of course, in the first canto, we have Krishna coming back to Dwarka, and Krishna is departing from wherever he was. So we have Krishna departing and arriving also. That's what, like we have here in the 10th canto, Krishna arriving in Indraprastha. So it gives us a little, Krishna gives us a little, or Shukadeva Goswami, he gives us a little taste of what Krishna consciousness is, what we're looking forward to. It's not something impersonal. It's not that Krishna comes to Dwarka, for instance, or Indraprastha, and no one's really there to receive him. Because he comes here all the time, you know, so big deal. Now the enthusiasm that's generated, the devotion that's generated, that is Krishna consciousness. It's not that Krishna just stands there and says, I'm God, worship me. And everyone says, all right, I guess we got to worship Krishna. So he told us to do it, we'll do it. There's nothing like that in the spiritual world, at least not in Goloka Vrindavan, or even in Dwarka, or even in Lord Ramachandra's realm. Although it may, some essence of that, some hint of that may be there in Vaikuntha. But Krishna is so attractive that people's, the devotees are simply as the rivers flow into the ocean, so their hearts flow towards Krishna. That's what Krishna appreciates. It's not that he appreciates only duty. Krishna says, do this, and everyone salutes. Yes, sir, we'll do it. Although that has to be there in the beginning. So, because we're conditioned souls, we don't really know Krishna that well, if at all. And therefore, how do we know how much we can trust him? And when we try to trust him in a way which is artificial, then we become disappointed. In other words, when we take shelter, we think we're taking shelter of Krishna, but actually we're just taking shelter of an idea that we think is Krishna. For instance, someone may fall sick and they think, I won't rely upon the doctors, I'll rely upon Krishna. And then when Krishna doesn't reciprocate immediately by curing our illness, then we become very disturbed. Krishna didn't reciprocate. Krishna doesn't, you know, he's not reliable. Of course, Krishna never asked us to fall sick either, to do the things that cause our sickness, nor did he ever say that unless you're mature enough to tolerate the illness, then you should just simply tolerate the illness. You have to be mature enough also to be able to fix your mind upon Krishna in such a way as that you're not disturbed by the illness. That's what Krishna is offering. He's not offering to just come around and cure everyone. He's not like, you know, all right, you're sick, you chant Hare Krishna, and then all of a sudden your illness goes away. That's not Krishna's business. Otherwise, it wouldn't be very beneficial for us at the time of death. We're about to die, and we say, Krishna, I'm about to die, save me. And then Krishna comes and he saves us. So then we keep on living every time, perpetually, in a 300,000-year-old body, because we keep on asking Krishna to save us. That's not what Krishna is talking about in Bhagavad Gita. He's talking about becoming onto the transcendental platform so that even at the hour of death, we're not disturbed by the material circumstances. But that requires an extensive ability to be able to focus one's attention and give one's love to Krishna, which we're trying to cultivate in the midst of material existence. We're not trying to utilize our spiritual cultivation in order to make our material existence better, although automatically to some extent that happens. But that's not the aim of Krishna consciousness, is to solve our material problems, at least not externally. The aim of Krishna consciousness is to come to the platform of Krishna consciousness so that we're not disturbed anymore by our material circumstances. So that we're existing on a different platform of consciousness. We're existing in our spiritual level of consciousness. On the other hand, if spiritual life is utilized to solve material problems, then we don't really learn how to rely upon Krishna completely. And because of that, we never become actually conscious of Krishna. We only become conscious of Krishna insofar as he's were able to draw from him some kind of materialistic remuneration for our service. It becomes simply business. Therefore, while we're cultivating devotional service, while we're learning how to depend upon Krishna, we depend upon Krishna not to solve our material existence, our problems of material existence. We depend upon Krishna so that we come to the platform of Krishna consciousness. We're not asking Krishna, we're not supposed to ask for Krishna anything else other than his loving service, which means, first of all, to concentrate our minds upon Krishna. Smarta vyaksaratam vishnur vismarta chatuna kinchit seva vidis nisedya asyur etyara eva kankara. That all the rules and regulations in the Vedas are only meant to help us remember Krishna and not to forget him. And we forget Krishna when we're looking around in the material world, seeing what shelter is there for me outside of Krishna. It comes down to that. Shelter means not only two things. What we really mean by shelter is we're hankering for some happiness or comfort, but first of all, we want to solve our material miseries. But in any case, even while we're experiencing misery, we want a certain amount of happiness, and that's called shelter. Freedom from misery and material comfort or happiness. So everyone's seeking those shelters of freedom from distress and positive material some kind of happiness. That happiness and that freedom from distress, first of all, freedom from distress only ultimately comes when we realize that there is no freedom from distress in material existence. If we're looking for freedom from distress in material existence, we're looking in the wrong place. Freedom from distress, when we realize it comes from not looking for freedom from distress in material existence. As Prabhupada said, when he was asked, what is the happiness of one in the mode of goodness? Prabhupada said, if you're in the mode of goodness, and if you think there's happiness in the mode of goodness, you're not in goodness, you're in ignorance. Because goodness means simply the absence of misery. There's no positive happiness in the material world. There's only the absence of misery, which is perceived as happiness, because happiness in the material world is the gradual decline of misery. But real freedom from real happiness begins at Brahma-Bhuta stage, when we're no longer looking for shelter in the material world, either for happiness or for distress, or trying to get out of distress, which is another way of looking at happiness. And then one becomes prasanatma, when there's no hankering and no lamentation. And one can see all living entities as Krishna's eternal servants. Then actual devotional service to Krishna begins. So in the beginning, there is some faith that's trying to be cultivated that Krishna is our actual shelter. He can give us happiness, and he can free us from distress. Therefore, in the six qualities of devotional service, there are, we have Klesha Agni and Subhada. In the first one for Sanana Bhakti, or two for Sanana Bhakti. So, Klesha Agni, which means freedom from distress, so devotional service gradually takes away our miseries, because it takes away our tendency to commit sin, which is a source of misery. Although people think sinful life is happiness, and indeed it is what material happiness is actually all about. Because material happiness means when material desire is afflicting me, and I satisfy that desire, then I feel satisfaction. I've done good service to my senses, and now they're no longer bothering me. So I feel a kind of peace and happiness. But of course, it doesn't last. Just like those who are fortunate enough to feel hunger, then when they satisfy the hunger, they feel satisfied, because the hunger is satisfied. But that doesn't mean tomorrow we won't feel hunger. Or if you fast long enough, everyone will eventually feel some hunger. But that's klesha agni. It frees us from the stress because it puts our consciousness on a different level. It's not that we're looking forward to the day we don't feel any more hunger, because that means we're sick. If you don't feel hunger, it means you've overeaten too long. It said if you don't feel hunger, the best thing to do is just fast for a day or two. If you don't know what hunger is, and then it'll become apparent again what hunger feels like. But it's not that a liberated soul doesn't feel hunger, because otherwise he'd be sick. Even Gaurakishore Das Babaji, he was on the level of Krishna Prema, undoubtedly, completely. But when his body was hungry, he didn't bother going into the nearest, stall, and because he had no money. He was completely aloof. Generally, he had no money. So he'd eat Ganges mud. Of course, he'd offer it first to Krishna. But, so his body did feel hunger, and therefore, rather than, in order to keep himself, his body and soul together, he ate something. And I don't know if it was a distraction or not, but at least he ate Ganges mud when it was where he was. So hunger may be there, the material desires may be there, but one who's actually on the spiritual platform, he can tolerate them without being disturbed. And on the highest platform, he's not even aware of them. Or if he is aware of them, he just fulfills those desires or those urges automatically. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was on his transcendental platform, when he was displaying his pastimes, he was also eating and sleeping and everything else. Well, not everything else, but at least eating and sleeping. But it said he did them automatically, just like the members of the Yadu dynasty. They fulfilled their desires. They were just automatic. But their actual activity was in Krishna consciousness, thinking about Krishna's pastimes or engaging in Krishna's service. They were actually aloof from their bodily activities, although they took place automatically by the will of Krishna. So kleshagni and subhada, then gradually one will develop all the positive qualities that are there in the demigods, because one will become a better and better instrument for Krishna, and therefore one will become more and more like Krishna in one's activities. And on the higher realm, then we have that on the stage of bhava, Rupa Goswami jumps all the way to bhava, passing, because I guess he goes all the way up to all the good qualities to really develop at the stage of up to shakti, when one is completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And then one's real feelings, they develop, and then one one's experience derives the concept of liberation. Moksha lagu krit. And so that means that the happiness that one's experienced is much greater than even that happiness that had develops one's good qualities. One is actually experiencing ladini shakti at the stage of bhava, and therefore all material happiness and conceptions are diminished. And at the stage of prema, then it's sundarananda vishak atma. So the happiness is so great that one is not even aware of material existence. There is no material existence. There's only different varieties of rasa or pleasure in one's existence. And for that, such a person like Gaurakishore Das Babaji, also an example, then when these little puppies would come and eat his food, his servant would try to get them away. And he said, no, why are you getting away? They're all residents of Vrindavan. He didn't have a material conception. When these boys would come by and throw rocks at him sometime or things, he was not disturbed. He thought they were just cowherd boys playing with him. One should not try to imitate that level, because that's all it would be, is an imitation. And the other two qualities, the devotional service, namely, it's the only means to attract Krishna, Karashini, It's the only means to attract Krishna. And what is the other one? No, we said that. And bhava. Oh, moksha lagu krit. And what's the other one on bhava stage? Yeah, an extra devotion. So the negative side, there's the only means of attracting Krishna, and it brings one such transcendental pleasure. So these are different stages of more and more material detachment. First material detachment is Subhada, and then the other one has to be Subhada is all good, gives one all good qualities, and first stage is devotional service. No. It was rarely achieved. So rare is Sudurlabha. Rarely achieved. Which means that very, very rarely anyone takes full shelter of Krishna. Not that it's impossible to achieve, but just by nature, people don't have that much faith, don't develop that much faith in Krishna to actually come to the bhava platform. Although Krishna says, many, many persons of the past became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they obtained transcendental love from me. Or as Krishna says, aham sarvasya pravo matak sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam Buddha bhava samanvitaha, that rarely do people actually understand that Krishna is worthy of shelter, not only because he's the controller of everything in the universe, which may attract a few people for some time, but that he's all attractive, that everything we're looking for in other places is found unlimitedly within him, whether it be beauty, or knowledge, or strength, or fame, or renunciation. Everything we're trying to take shelter of to derive some of these experiences of these particular qualities can be found completely within Krishna. Therefore, in the beginning, there's a little faith that there's something good in Krishna, in this Krishna consciousness movement, and then the association of devotees, and then the practice. And then when Krishna sees our sincerity, then gradually there's purification. And then after purification, then one comes to the actual transcendental level to cultivate pure devotional service. One begins to be able to chant in ecstasy. And after some time of doing that, one develops ruchi. There's actual experience of Krishna. That one develops the proper mood. Sometimes we think, well, if I chant with attention, that will bring me to Krishna consciousness. So therefore we try very hard to chant with attention, but we try so hard, there's no feeling. It's just, you know, almost like Krishna is just waiting for us to control our minds, as if devotional service is a mind control game. And then we go to the opposite. Pleading with Krishna, begging him, you know, I'm suffering so much, I can't control my mind. As if devotional service is Krishna's whole purpose of chanting to Krishna is that he's supposed to control our mind for us. So we can have material happiness and no reaction for it. So we go between, or as Krishna says, blind, folly, and absurd inquiries are condemned. We go between being overly intellectual in our approach to Krishna consciousness to overly sentimental in our approach to Krishna consciousness. And therefore, there's a actual in-between where we actually become reliant upon Krishna when we understand how Krishna is actually the Supreme and we rely upon him to bring us to the platform of devotional service. We actually ask Him to do that. We have confidence that He is the Supreme Person, and if we ask Him for devotional service, that's what He'll give us. And if we chant like that, then gradually Krishna will give us the intelligence so that we can understand how to chant better. So it's not overly just trying to concentrate on Krishna, but it is concentrating on Krishna. But it's concentrating on Krishna for pure devotional service. And if there is distractions coming from our material desires or conceptions or thoughts, whatever, then one is not so much disturbed by them because one understands it won't do me any good to try and defeat them or try to get rid of them, whatever. The only thing I have to do is keep on asking Krishna for pure devotional service. And when I get that pure devotional service, everything else will be taken care of. So then after that, then after sometimes one learns to chant in ecstasy through the different stages, such as Smaranam, and then first is Krishna Smaranam, then Dharana, then Dhyana, then Krishna Anusmriti, then Samadhi. So Samadhi, this brings us to the stage of Asakti. Oh, and chants in ecstasy, and the mind is actually fixed on Krishna. Then one comes to the platform of Bhava, which is Roop City, where one actually realizes what one's spiritual identity is, because one feels one's spiritual identity. In the midst of all the ecstasy, the heart gradually melts, and one actually feels himself to be a servant of Krishna. It takes a lot to come to that platform, a lot of ecstasy actually, before our heart actually melts, and we actually start feeling something for Krishna, that we actually want to please Krishna. And that's what we really want to do. Just like right now, we really want to please our senses. We're really sincere about it. And our minds, no one says we're not sincerely trying to satisfy our senses. We're quite sincere about that. Therefore, it'll take a lot of ecstasy before we actually come to the platform when our hearts melt, and we're actually wanting to please Krishna rather than our senses. When our consciousness is traded, when our service attitude is completely developed, and it's really focused on Krishna sincerely. Although that's developed over some period of time. And that's called bhava. And here it's viklina. It's indicated as a stage heart melts. But we should understand that bhava is only one ray in the sunlight of prema. And prema is actually the entrance into our actual existence on the spiritual platform. It's just the entrance. It's for those bhava, sneha, which is mentioned here, because after prema comes sneha, affection for Krishna, transcendental affection. So on that platform, the dasya rasa begins, the platform of service to Krishna, actually wanting to serve Krishna's spiritual senses rather than some material senses. And this is the platform that the 10th canto begins on, the platform of sneha, or prema and sneha. As I said, there are persons and devotees who appear within Dwarka, for instance, or Vrindavan, or on the stage of bhava, like the Rishi Chari Gopis, the Muni Chari Gopis, that they were elevated to the platform of being able to associate with Krishna in his transcendental pastimes for the further development of their bhava to the perfectional stage of prema. And therefore they got the association of the Nitya Siddha Gopis, who had also joined with Krishna's pastimes. And they got trained by them to come, or at least to come to the platform of prema. And we find that some of them, for instance, when Krishna had his rasa dance, then all the perfect devotees, those who are on the platform of prema, they went out to dance, at least on prema, actually some of them were prema. It goes prema, sneha, mana, raga, anuraga, bhava, of raga, Bhava Mahabhava. So many of them were on the platform of Mahabhava. Generally, Srimati Radharani and her followers are on that platform, way beyond even ordinary prema. And others are on the state of Bhava by their association. They learned how to love Krishna without any material, they actually on that stage, you're just developing your relationship with Krishna. There's no material impediment. There's just a question of spiritual development. Prabhupada gives the example of big fires and little fires. They're all fires, but it's a question of how much fire there is, that's all. How much desire there is to please Krishna. The intensity of it. Some of them, they couldn't join Krishna in his pastimes. They were held back by their relatives. And therefore, their desire to be with Krishna intensified. When you want something, you can't get it. Usually, it intensifies your desire to get it. And therefore, because of that intensification of feeling separation from Krishna, they came to the platform of prema, and then they left their bodies so they can join Krishna in the spiritual world. And even some of the Brahmins' wives, the wives of the Brahmins, that they also were held back, and therefore they also developed their Krishna prema in that way. In any case, the entry stage of understanding bhava or these pastimes means that one has to be situated in one's awareness of one's relation with Krishna. Otherwise, a lot of these things just don't make any sense, because the 10th canto especially is a collection of rasa. It's an experience, and therefore it has to be read as experience, because it's understood that one has gone beyond the state of liberation. And therefore, there is no material conceptions for those who are participating in Krishna's pastimes. On the other hand, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura has given us some hints that some of the demons being killed are also killing anarthas, so that those who are actually reading Krishna's pastimes, especially the pastimes of the killing of the demons, can also get benefited by hearing about how not only Krishna enjoys with the devotees, but he also enjoys killing demons. And as Arjuna says in Bhagavad Gita, he was asking Krishna to kill the demons of doubt. So Krishna, in his pastimes, he also kills the demons of doubt, whether it's Balaram killing Dhenukasura or Palambasura, or Krishna killing the demons like Trinavarta or Putana or Agasura, others. But in any case, we should understand these 10th canto pastimes as something just to, more or less on our level, we could try to visualize them, try to see what's going on within our minds, and try to appreciate, you know, that these devotees are on a level which we can't imagine. We can try to imagine it, but it won't do us so much good. I mean, we can try to imagine it, but we shouldn't think that my imagination is going to bring me to that platform. Or that whatever I imagine, that is the reality of what's actually taking place. It's my ability to understand it to some extent, but it's not really the whole experience that's actually going on in reality. On the other hand, it doesn't give us one of the problems of reading the 10th canto. Of course, we can read the 10th canto. There's no harm in it. Prabhupada gave us Krishna book because he expected that sometime we should come to the platform of feeling separation from Krishna and actually experiencing what's going on in these pastimes. But we can also read the pastimes because it's about Krishna, and Krishna is always purifying to hearing about Krishna. But the difficulty, it doesn't give us so much clear direction of what we're supposed to do with our lives in order to become Krishna conscious. It's the perfectional level. Just like someone may be able to jump 7 feet in the air over a pole, and we may read about it, But that doesn't mean we're going to be able to jump 7 feet in the air over the pole just by reading about it and imagine what they're feeling doing it. We have to learn what they did in order to be able to jump 7 feet in the air over a pole. That would be more beneficial for us if that's our objective, is to jump over a 7-foot pole. So similarly, the first 9 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam progressively teach us how to jump 7 feet so we can get over the pole. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and even Chaitanya Charitamrita gives us instructions so that eventually when we can jump over the pole, then we'll be in the spiritual platform and therefore we'll actually be able to understand what's going on. Because it's not that the aim of Krishna consciousness is only to get liberated from material energy. It's also eventually to come to the spiritual platform and participate in Krishna consciousness, in the spiritual activities of rasa. But even when on that platform, it doesn't mean that they stop their devotional service to Krishna. Because as we can see in Prabhupada's example, that although he's a liberated soul, he still continued with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission of spreading Krishna consciousness, which is our primary means of spiritual elevation, participate in the activities, especially the powerful activities of serving the deities and associating with the devotees, serving the devotees, living in a spiritual atmosphere, chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. These are regulated activities, but they're regular activities both for the conditioned and for the liberated souls. As Prabhupada writes in the Krishna book, those who are on the neophyte platform, and that neophyte platform, or even Madhyama Adhikari platform, well, actually neophyte platform, I should say, they'll hear these pastimes and they'll like them. Prabhupada says they'll like them, and the materialists, they'll like them because they appear to be nice activities between young men and young ladies. Those who are more on the liberated platform, on the Krishna conscious platform, they'll like them because by hearing these activities, they'll become encouraged and enlightened. And those who are on the spiritual platform, they'll relish the pastimes because they'll actually be there. It's like you're here now, or they used to have a television program. You're here now. So they'll actually be there in the pastimes, either as experiencing them or eventually is actually participating in them, depending on what particular level of devotional attainment they achieve. But for ourselves, generally speaking, our main business is the first 9 cantos, progressively understanding them, so that when we come to this platform of hearing these pastimes, we'll be able to appreciate them even more. Of course, you've been reading I've been here for some years reading the 10th canto. 11th canto is a little bit more, what we could say, appropriate for us, for most of us, because it deals with a very intense philosophical platform, Krishna talking to Uddhava, Uddhava Gita especially. But even that is quite an advanced philosophical level of discussion, but still it's quite valuable for us. But this is really something that we read through, we try to the best of our ability to imagine what's going on, visualize these things, try to appreciate whatever essence of devotional service is there, the enthusiasm of the devotees, the conviction of the devotees, the emotions of the devotees. We try to at least appreciate it, but the difficulty comes when we think we've actually understand them completely. And therefore we're actually on the same level that these devotees are on, that we're actually on the spiritual platform, especially when we're not, can be quite dangerous. To think that we've reached a goal, just like if you had a race, it was a 3-mile race, but you thought the race was only 50 feet. And you run with all your might the first 50 feet and you think you won the race. And you wonder why people keep on running, you know. You think they're all frustrated or something, why they're making such a hard time, keep on running. And you go, you know, you put your arms up in the air, expecting everyone to, a big roar from the crowd. And you say, well, they're envious of me because I won the race, and you walk away. You didn't understand, actually, the race is 3 miles longer than you thought it was. but you walked away thinking you were the winner. So we should understand how, what the extent of the race is, so that we don't walk away prematurely, thinking that we already won the race. Okay, I'll stop there. Any questions? Yes. Yes.
Just for the, my question is about anarthas and.
Well, the list of anarthas Bhaktivinoda Thakura has given us that in these particular pastimes, like Putana is the personification of the false guru, and obviously she represents some envious attitude, etc. So how do we know we've overcome them? Well, when we see that in spite of the fact that these mentalities, these emotions may arise within me, within my mind, that I'm not affected by them. They just come and go. Instead, I understand what Krishna wants me to do and I keep on doing it. I keep on agreeing to be a Krishna's instrument. I'm not affected by other mentalities. Then we know we're no longer affected.
Do the spiritual masters list the different anarthas? Are there a certain number, or are they just like unlimited?
Well, you can read the main anarthas are all there in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Kutinati, for instance, in there are so many things that are listed in even in Bhagavad Gita. Vihaya Kamayak Sarvam, Pumam Charati Nispriha, Niramo Nirahankara, Sashanti Madhagachiti. One who's free from desire, Vihaya Kama Yaksarvam, Pumam Starati Nispriha, gives up all material desires, who devoid of false ego and not doesn't consider himself a proprietor, he's obtained real peace. So giving up desires of sense gratification, giving up all kinds of material desires also besides just for sense gratification, doesn't consider himself a proprietor and is devoid of false ego. So these are some of the things. And there are other things that are explained even more elaborately sometimes in different sections of the Srimad Bhagavatam, all the different, and Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kutinati, and Jiva Hingsa, and not following the rules and regulations, or being envious of others, or diplomacy, profit, adoration, distinction, etc., etc. So there's enough we can work on.
And also you were mentioning bhava, that when you spoke about bhava, you were saying that that is like the beginning step to relishing the pastimes. But
we can relish the pastimes even from the neophyte platform. But to actually feel what's going on in the pastimes, to actually be, because Krishna's pastimes are displays of transcendental emotions. But unless we have transcendental emotion, then what we're going to understand what's going on? We'll only understand it from our material side.
And we read that even in the bhava stage, like great exalted personalities can deviate from that situation.
So no, when they don't deviate from that situation.
Well, like Bharat Maharaj, he was...
Yeah, you have one... We have Srimad Bhagavatam, which represents trillions of lifetimes of Brahma since time immemorial. We have one example of Bharat Maharaj, who's on the beginning stages of bhava, and then we use that as the example of someone in bhava, although since time immemorial, he's the only example that's being used. But it's an instructive example for us, simply that we become more serious, that's all. It's not meant to show us how people deviate on the bhava platform. It's meant to show us that we should be careful and our devotional service at any stage.
Also, we pray every day to our spiritual master. From him, ecstatic prem emanates.
It doesn't emanate from him. It emanates from the transcendental knowledge.
Right. By his mercy. So, when one is trying to develop, how can you understand where you are and how you can develop and how you can improve? Because Prabhupada wants us to develop pure love for Krishna. He wants us to develop prema bhakti.
Well, that's already there. Nitya siddha Krishna prema sadhu kavinoi shravanadi shuddha cheti karyo doi. love for Krishna is already there, but it's just dormant. So if we follow the process, then gradually it'll be awakened, especially hearing, chanting, and serving Krishna. Then gradually Krishna will bestow these things upon us by waking us up. It's there, it's just a question of agreeing to surrender to Krishna and his representatives. And then Krishna, when he sees we're surrendered, then he reciprocates. Tadami buddhi yogam tam and tesham eva nukambaratam. He reveals himself, and as soon as Krishna reveals himself, then our natural love for him is awakened again. It's not something that we develop independently of devotional service. It's bestowed upon us when Krishna reveals himself to us. It's like, what do you do at night when there's no sunlight? Well, you wait till the daytime and the sun comes up, then automatically there's light. You don't have to do anything else. Just wait when the sun comes and light will come, and heat and everything else. So when Krishna sees our sincerity, then he reveals himself. But that sincerity means that we take part in his mission. And Krishna's mission, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is to help other living entities go back to the spiritual world. So the more we participate in assisting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, acting as an instrument in that mission, then the more Krishna will bestow his blessings upon us. Anything else? Yes.
Hearing is an opportunity to associate with the Lord. To hear his activities is to evolve to the transcendental nature simply by hearing. And if one takes advantage of the opportunity to hear the pastimes of the Lord, then one can immediately evolve to his transcendental nature. And then Prabhupada says, this Krishna treatise is meant for that purpose, and the reader may take advantage in order to attain the supreme goal of life. So Prabhupada somehow, by his mercy, he made it so easy that anyone, even someone that's unqualified, can immediately read this Krishna book and immediately evolve to his transcendental nature. So that was...
We should understand it's equally applicable to Bhagavad Gita also.
Yes.
And yeah, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, just to hear about Krishna. But of course, probably if we read the Krishna book, it's not just the 10th canto. It's the 10th canto plus Bhagavad Gita, and especially Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is infused in there. So we don't get misdirected by what's going on. Started thinking we're a coward boy or a gopi before we even Brahman realized.
Yes. Thank you so much for the wonderful class. I was just wondering by listening to this that I know like in the Gurvastika prayers that we sing every morning and also in the Sri Guru Vandanam, we sing for Guru Puja. It's all about the mercy of the spiritual master as far as our advancement goes and how we're fixed in devotional service and where we go from here. Is that right? Well, our relationship with the spiritual master.
We have to understand what the relationship is. I mean, I think our translation of our, especially our Sri Guru Vandana prayer is a little, may not be as accurate as we'd like it to be. In the sense that it says, Chakshu san dilaye janme janme prabhu say, one who has given me the vision of spiritual life is my master birth after birth. So the spiritual master's mercy he's giving us is the transcendental knowledge coming into simple succession. Of course, because he's realized that transcendental knowledge and therefore he has Krishna, you know, he's remembering Krishna. Krishna is present, just like he's present for anyone who remembers Krishna, because Krishna and his name, form, quality, pastimes are none different from him. He's actually present when we chant Hare Krishna. Therefore, but the spiritual master is giving us knowledge coming into simple succession. That's his mercy. And as an instrument for Krishna also, that's also his mercy. He's displaying the knowledge. He's an acharya. Therefore, his activities are none different from the knowledge. And because Krishna is present, where anyone who's repeating Krishna's knowledge and acting for Krishna, and then Krishna's presence also. But he's my spiritual man. He's giving me the transcendental vision, birth after birth, and then the Vedas, what is it? Chaku dan dilo ye janme prabhu se divya gyan ride prak. Then he gives us divine knowledge, and that divine knowledge awakens within our heart love of God. Divya gyan ride prakrishi, it enlightens us. So it's not like the spiritual master is coming and he says, well, because I'm a special person, therefore I have some special mercy that I'm giving everyone. He's giving transcendental knowledge in the simple succession. And therefore, in proportion to his following that knowledge and surrender to it, therefore he has the potency to deliver it. But that's true for everyone also. Not just my initiating spiritual master, although there is a special relationship with one's, especially etiquette in relationship to the initiating spiritual master. But that's true for any devotee in proportion to their sincerity, their understanding and sincerity for following that knowledge, then they become eligible to distribute that knowledge also. Divya gyan ride prakasita. Prema bhakti yahoite. From him, which that divine knowledge gives one prema bhakti and dispels ignorance. So it's not like the spiritual master, he's prema bhakti and he dispels ignorance. It's the divine knowledge that he's delivering gives prema bhakti and dispels ignorance. And of course, the more he's advanced, then the more the more divine knowledge he has, the more potency he's realized it. The more he's realized it, the more potency he has, and therefore the more the ability to dispel ignorance and give prema bhakti is there. But because he's connected with the simple succession as a surrendered soul or a proportion to his surrender, that's how it all works. Not that he's some special person or she's some special person outside of the connection with the disciple succession.
By the grace of the spiritual master, one receives the benediction of Krishna. And without the grace of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement.
But the spiritual master, again, spiritual master is one who's connected and disciple succession. Because we have a special connection with our Diksha Guru in the sense that we've made a vow to follow him, these instructions. But those instructions are the same instructions that everyone's supposed to follow. So it's not only the Diksha Guru is giving those instructions, it's also everyone who's following the same disciple succession is giving the same instructions. Prabhupada gives the example just like, therefore although we have an etiquette of following our Diksha Guru, but it's understood that everyone else who's in the disciple succession, we're also supposed to understand what they're saying, their realization. It's not that only my Diksha Guru has realization and everyone else doesn't know what they're doing. But if it's all coming in the same disciple succession, if my spiritual master is connected in disciple succession, then I only accept instructions in the same disciple succession. Prabhupada gives the example of the tree, that the tree, you take a leaf from one part of the tree, a leaf from the other, because they're connected to the same tree, they taste the same. So I only accept instructions from those who come in the same disciple succession for my spiritual master. So that's for the disciple. And for our disciple succession, we judge our disciple succession according to how much realization. That's how Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada gave us our disciple succession. Not by diksha, but by shiksha. But that doesn't mean we neglect diksha. But just our disciple succession in general is conveyed according to realization. But that doesn't negate our special relationship that we have with our diksha guru. In the sense that he's connected and everyone else's instructions are supposed to come in the same disciple succession. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Or Premanande.
His Divine Grace Srila Prahladananda Swami Maharaj Ki Jai.